me ask you to just go through the memory banks of your mind and think about a moment when your child disappointed you. It might be something they said or did, or maybe something they didn't say or do. How did you respond in that moment? We're going to have some do's and some don'ts for what to do when you face disappointment as a mom or a dad. I'm John Fuller here in the studio with Dr. Danny Huerta, who heads up our Focus on the Family parenting team. And Danny, can you think of a time when either Alex or Lexi disappointed you?
Let me think back to a few weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, a few weeks ago. It was a moment with my son Alex. He's now 19, and we had told him to do certain things, and I stood up for him. I said, "Hey, honey, he's going to get it done. Don't worry about it."
You had faith.
And I stood up for him. And he didn't do it. He didn't get it done. It was vacuuming and cleaning his bathroom and all these things before he could go do some things with some friends. And, man, it was so disappointing because I had shown that belief in him in that moment, right? It was a disappointing moment. It wasn't a huge crisis or anything, but it was a moment of disappointment.
Yeah.
And I could tell that I was too tired and had no energy for healthy conflict with my son. I had a lot of things on my plate that week, and that was just another thing added to the plate, and it really gave me some insight on me. Maybe that week was way too full. I didn't pack it correctly because this is such an important moment for my son to have that moment of correction with me and a moment of putting a consequence there where you can't go out with your friends. You need to get this done, and then you can go.
So what happened? I mean, did you talk to him, or did you shelve it, or is it still waiting to happen? And
well,
it's going to happen.
He had gone. Yeah, he had gone, and then he ended up having to take on an extra job above and beyond what he had already missed out on doing. So there was still a consequence, and he understood it. It did take some time of conversation, and he had to do it a few days later after that. Those are healthy moments for us to lean into as parents, to talk to our kids about what we felt. And I was disappointed that you chose not to do what you knew you needed to do. Yet I love you, and we'll get through this, and boom, and we did.
Yeah.
And I think he respects the fact that we do that.
Yeah, I've had a couple of my kids, maybe only two, who have come back and said, "Hey, there was that time that, and thank you. I needed that. I'm really glad that you enforced that boundary, or that you had that consequence, or that you expressed, hey, you can do better than this." Now, this is not to say I did it perfectly by any means, but we want to just have candid conversations with each other as moms and dads because we need to encourage each other. And we're going to hear now from Lisa Jo Baker and Jean Daly, who spoke with Jim Daly about how they've kind of dealt with this in their own journeys.
Let me ask you about that. We've covered kind of the self-image and then marriage. Let's move to parenting. Ouch. I think Jean and I both say, if we could just do it over again, we'd be so much better at this.
Yes.
But in the book, Middle Matters, you address some common challenges that you faced as a mom. I'm sure, Jean, you're going to relate here, and I'm going to turn the next question to you. Your eldest son, I think your kids now are 16, 14, and 11, and you had some kind of interaction with Jackson when you discovered that he'd been doing some online searching that he shouldn't have done. What happened, and how did you manage it or mismanage it?
Oh, I mismanaged it big time. I think we don't often realize what's lurking inside of us until we have children. I often say I had no idea I had a temper until I had teenagers.
They tend to find those buttons.
Oh, my. Yes, they do.
Even though we hide them.
I was so angry with him, and I remember a lot of times anger is actually masquerading or camouflaging another emotion, and I think I was actually afraid of what had happened,
and it
manifested as anger. So think about the parent who waits up late for their kid, and when they walk through the door, they just start yelling. It's because they're afraid. And I was afraid for him, and I was so angry, and I completely overreacted, and I really shamed him. I mean, I blamed him. I was angry. I listed all these flaws and faults I could see developing, and he stormed into his room, and I stormed into my room, and then I called my husband, and I was like, why is Jackson so mean to me?
I love it.
That's a good mom response.
And my husband was so great, and he listened, and he just said, honey, I just see you repeating some of the patterns from your own childhood. Jackson loves you, but he needs your love and your trust and your respect. You know, he's becoming a young man. You have to parent him not out of fear, not out of shame, but out of deep security in who you are in Christ. Our kids are not supposed to be walking trophies for us. That isn't what they're supposed to be. They are supposed to be citizens of the kingdom of God, and so we are there to get them to follow Christ, to introduce them to Christ. And I remember how humbling it was. You know, if you have toddlers and you've yelled at a toddler, maybe you have taken the moment to apologize, as we should, and I've done that with my toddlers. It's different when it's a teenager.
Yes.
It's vulnerable. But because of that, it's really impactful. And I remember sitting down next to him and just saying, as I've told him many times, listen, you're our first buddy. We are figuring this out. You've got newbie teenage parents. We do not know what we're doing. Yes. And we had a really great conversation where I said, what I did to you is I shamed you, but my job is to teach you. And I'm really sorry. Like, my job is to teach you that what happened here, this action was wrong. But you aren't wrong. You aren't bad. My job is to shape you, not to shame you. And it was really transformative. And what I love, I mean, I always say, why did nobody tell me how great the teen years are? Like, they're so wonderful. I would take them over the toddler years any day of the week. And they're bumpy, but also you have this incredible opportunity to get to know your kids as humans,
right?
Like real grown adult humans who have thoughts and dreams and plans. And it feels very sacred to be invited into their world. And so for me, the same as in the toddler years, just owning it when I've made a mistake, when I got it wrong, has actually been very transformative for my relationship with my teenage sons.
Yeah, and those are good thoughts, and just that retrospection, which is so critical in parenting. Jean, you've had that. I've seen you grow immensely in your parenting. It's been actually kind of fun to watch that happen with you and the boys. So are you relating to this?
Absolutely, and thank you for that. But it took me too long, and I had a similar situation, Lisa Jo, that you just explained with your son. And I absolutely freaked out, just freaked out. And it's shame and fear. And it's a scary, unknown world for me, that social media and all the access on computers that children have. And in hindsight, I wish I could have just stepped back and understood, okay, this is the world. Our kids are going to be exposed to a lot of things that we were probably never exposed to. And how do we want to handle the situation? And in love, and I love what you said, Lisa Jo, that what you did was wrong, but you're not wrong.
Right.
And
it's critical.
Yes, that another issue was one of our sons is strong, surprisingly, just like his mom. I didn't know.
You could have asked.
I didn't know that. Oh, my goodness. And he would press my buttons. And I mistakenly thought that he needed to respect me because I was his mother. And that I'm right because I'm his
by
mother
default.
And
yes.
Because I said so. And it took me a long time to figure out that we were just knocking heads and we were moving further apart. And I finally stepped back and realized.
Changed the relationship.
It did change the relationship. He's a human being. He's a person.
Right.
Not just. He's not my child anymore. He's growing into a teenager, a young adult, and to be able to have conversations.
Right.
Yeah, which is so good. And in this parenting space, I mean, that's the message to communicate to young moms, is to get, if you can get here quickly about what you're actually doing to shape your child's future, their relationship with the Lord.
Well, Danny, I really appreciated hearing from Lisa Jo and Jean about their own experiences, and I'd love for you to offer some guidelines to moms and dads who are going to catch their kids doing stuff, either underperforming or doing something they're not supposed to. We need to be ready for that kind of a moment.
This is something I love to lean into with parents in the counseling office. I love to talk about how can we show up to those moments of correction and guidance for our kids in a way that's going to be helpful. And the first one is I noticed. or I saw this, because it's dealing with the facts. And then you can say, I felt this. Mm. Then you're dealing with the emotions. Look at those initial words, but also the tone you bring. Is it I caught you and I'm angry at you, or I am with you, I have grace, and I'm concerned about you? It can be the exact same words, but in a different tone, it gives a completely different feel to what you're trying to do. And many times in our frustrated moments, you'll notice that our tone as parents is more of a sarcastic or a I got you tone because of our feelings spilling out. So you want to make sure you're not triggering your child by the way you show up to that moment. Mm-hmm. So I noticed this, or I'm concerned about this, or I felt frustrated when you did this, and we really need to figure this out. What's going on inside of you? Instead of what's going on, you say, hey, what's going on? And there's a curiosity, a concern for them. Same exact words, different tone.
Yeah.
And that's what opens up the doors to potential conversation with your kids.
And for some of you listening right now, you might need to talk to somebody because it's not working with your child. There's friction, there's that triggering that Danny's talking about, and there's emotion leaking out. Please know that our donor community has made it possible for us to offer a free phone consultation. And it would be a privilege for us to offer a quick call to you to talk through kind of what's going on, to offer some insights, maybe point you to a resource or two. Please give us a call and ask to speak with one of our counselors if I'm describing that kind of a situation in your life. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family, and we'll have a link in the show notes and further details there as well. And Lisa Jo Baker has a terrific book called The Middle Matters, which offers great stories and insights from Lisa Jo about being a mom who shows up and being all you can be in Christ. Get a copy of the book from us here at Focus on the Family when you make a generous donation of any amount, either a monthly pledge or one-time gift, to the work of Focus on the Family. We've got all the details in the show notes. More from Lisa Jo and Jean next time. And for now, on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.